You in the mighty name of Jesus, for God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have been visiting the United States for many years now, but this time our visit is a little bit different. This time we have come with an immigrant visa. Now, one of the things I discovered when we arrived this time is that we are regarded as aliens. I used to think that was something for cartoons. We even got an alien registration number. But that has caused us to remember that we are all pilgrims in this world. We are all strangers. We are all on a journey because we seek a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And while we are here, we are only representing our God as ambassadors in this world because we belong to another country. We have been told that this is one of the better winters. Some of it seems God has raised the temperature a little for us. But it is still a challenge for us. We are trying to get accustomed to the cold. The other day, my nephew asked me, "Uncle, how are you adjusting to the cold?" I simply said, "My hat and my scarf, they comfort me." I would like to draw your attention to the portion of scripture which was read earlier, a vision that God gave at a very crucial time in the history of his people. It starts out by saying, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me." Now I must point out that if I see anyone sleeping today, I will not wake you. Because I heard about the preacher who was preaching and noticed that a gentleman in the audience was sleeping. So he called to his wife and asked him to wake him. And the wife said, "Preacher, you put him to sleep, you wake him." "I don't plan to put anyone to sleep this morning." Here, the word of God is set in the context of the return from captivity. God's people were in Babylonian captivity from the year 579 BC to 538 BC. And there came a time in history where when the Medes and Persians overcame the Babylonians, a decree was written for God's people to go back to their homeland. And they went back and they started to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, they were rebuilding Jerusalem not just because it was the desire of their heart to see their nation restored and rebuilt, but because God had promised that his people would come back to their homeland and rebuild. It was God's plan for the temple to be restored. So they went back, and for 2 years they were zealous about rebuilding the temple of the Lord. But after 2 years, the work ceased, and God had to raise up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to encourage the people to get back to the rebuilding of the temple, because God is on a mission. And it is not going to be by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God, says the Lord of hosts. Will you bow with me for prayer, please? Almighty God, we recognize today it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We pray for fresh anointing. Anoint my lips as I speak, anoint our ears as we hear. And we pray that in everything the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will have preeminence, for Christ's sake. Amen. God is on a mission. The people of God were able to build or rebuild the temple because God was with them. When they went back from captivity to enter a new season, coming out of bondage, coming out of the brokenness, coming out of the ravages that they had experienced, God pointed out to them that the significant task, the great, tremendous task that confronted them was going to be done because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. At that time, the mission was to rebuild the physical temple. Today, our mission is to work with God in building the spiritual temple. Because God is building a temple. A temple not made with hands. A temple which is made of human beings, called out from every kindred, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. He is bringing all the pieces together to put together. And anytime this temple is over, the agenda for the church will be completed. It is the building of this temple which sets the agenda of the church. God is on a mission, and he calls us to work with him. For 14 years, the people were in a state of apathy. They forsook the work of the Lord. They attended to their own business. And Haggai had to say to them, the reason why you are not prospering is because you are taking care of your own business and you have left the work of God in ruins. He says, go back to the work of God. Zechariah came with a word of encouragement. It can be done. It is a significant work. There are oppositions on the outside, and there is apathy on the inside. But regardless of what opposition there are, God is still able to accomplish the work, because God's work must be accomplished. God is on a mission. Right here in New York, God is on a mission. And this is a tremendous mission field with 8 million people speaking 800 different languages. 3 out of 10 households speak different languages in this state. God is on a mission. We are told that 25% of the inhabitants of New York declare themselves to be unaffiliated with any religion. In fact, we are told that in the United States in the last decade, 30 million people have joined the group which is called religious nuns. Not N-U-N-S. N-O-N-E-S. They are divorcing themselves from anything that has to do with religion. And the most significant part of that group is made up of young people. I am happy to be the youth speaker today. If I had known that I was going to speak at the youth meeting, I probably would have asked Sister Velda to put a little dye in my ear. But I have a tremendous concern for the youths and for our churches. We are told that the average age of Christians in the United States and in Europe is 55. Whereas in a group like the Muslims, it's somewhere in the 30s. So right now, 31% of the world's population is Christian. But Islam is growing faster than Christianity. Therefore, in a few years, if there is not a change in the trend, we will have more Muslims in the world than Christians. God calls us to join him in the mission. He is still at work in this world, and he extends an invitation for us to come and work with him. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That was Jesus' approach. When Jesus came, he says, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish the task which he has given me to do. John 4:34. And at the end of it all, he was able to say, it is finished. When he started his public ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised. Jesus came on a mission. And in John chapter 5, he tells us, I work simply because my Father works. He says, my Father has been working from the beginning. That is why I am working. The only reason why we can declare that we are on a mission is because God is on a mission. We are not on our own business. When it comes on to the work of God, we are working with God, who calls us to be laborers together with him. God is on a mission. But you know, as we think about the mission of God, there is another word that begins with M that always stands in the way. If you look in verse 7, it asks the question, who are you, O great? What is that word that begins with M? It's open book exam. Who are you, O great mountain? It seems to me that from a human perspective, from a human standpoint, there will be mountains in our way. Significant obstacles, physical obstacles, spiritual obstacles, financial obstacles, social obstacles, all kinds of obstacles are there. Satan has strategically placed them to stop the work of God. As we see in the return from captivity, the enemies tried to stop them from rebuilding the temple. They tried to stop them from rebuilding the wall. But it was accomplished not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. In our time, it is the same thing. If we are going to do the work of God and fulfill the call of God upon our lives, it has got to be in the power of the Spirit of God. Who are you, O great mountain? Every time God calls us to work with him, it is to a God-sized task. You see, sometimes we want to set challenges that we know that we can accomplish with our own resources. But when God calls us to work with him, he calls us to tasks that cannot be accomplished by our human skill or strength or resources. We have to depend on God. But he is a God who moves mountains. The mountain stood in the way of the mission, but God will move mountains to accomplish his mission. Psalm 97:5 says, the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. There was a brother in Jamaica who was referring to this song, which is based on this scripture. And he was singing, the hills smell like rats in the presence of the Lord. But the word says the hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we have to be careful what we sing and think while we are singing and worshiping. But God is able to remove mountains. In fact, he has called us to partner with him to remove mountains. As we work with God on the mission of God, we become mountain movers with God. I hope somebody can say amen. The Bible says in Mark 11:23, Truly I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. God is able to move mountains. God is able to cross Red Seas. God is able to tear down Jericho walls. God is able to cross the Jordan. God is able to cause the lost axe head to swim again. He is a miracle working God. Last year, this time, our first son Timothy was out of school. And he was out of school for a while because we needed $15,000 for him to continue his studies. We put it to the Lord in prayer. Timothy practically lived in the prayer room as we sought the Lord for directions and for his provision for how we would solve this problem. Now, $15,000 may sound small in U.S. currency, but we are talking $2 million in Jamaican dollars. But the Lord, over the years, taught us to trust him. When Velda gave up her job as a nurse to join me full-time in ministry, we decided that we would trust God for our sustenance as we give ourselves to the work and the mission of God. One day, I got a call. And the person said, Pastor, I would like to make a contribution to Timothy's school fee. How can I get some money to your account? So I gave the person the directions how they can get the money to the account. And I was a bit curious. I asked, how much are you planning to do? And the person said, I'm planning to do $15,000. God will move mountains to accomplish his mission. When he started studying here in the States, we prayed long and hard to find out really if God wanted him to study in the United States. But it was because God had a mission and God was working to a plan. This year in October, he came back to Jamaica to renew his student visa. And surprisingly, the visa was denied. He was in the middle of his studies. We couldn't understand what was happening. But if God is able to move financial mountains, God is able to move visa mountains. So we get down in prayer and fasting, and we sought the Lord. And the visa which was rejected in October was issued on the 27th of December. And it was not because it was my birthday. It's because God was working according to his plan. He is a God who moves mountains, a God who works miracles, a God who transcends the natural and works supernaturally, because nothing shall stand in the way of God. When the enemies around us come against us to stop the mission, look how many times they tried to stop Nehemiah, to get him from building that wall. They tried to kill them, but God is on a mission, and no one can kill us, not even Satan, before God's timing. This came home very clear to me. Was it yesterday? No, about 2 or 3 days ago, I left the house to go to the supermarket. And I was driving. As I reached the first crossroad, I stopped waiting to enter the major road. Now, there was not a stoplight there, just a stop sign. And you know, sometimes Once you go to the stop sign and you see that it is clear, you just move on. But that day I stopped and waited. Nothing was coming. But all of a sudden, a light post fell about a foot in front of my car. And I was surprised. What is this? A light post falling down. A rotten light post falling down in the United States. I expect that to happen in Jamaica. But wherever we are, we need God's protection. I said to Velda, it seemed like the old devil has brought his bad ways here behind us. But the devil is everywhere, seeking to destroy, seeking to prevent what God wants to do. Somehow I believe that God is going to do something great. I don't know exactly why God brought us to the United States at such a time as this. But all my life, or for the last 30, 40 years, I have been praying for a revival. A Holy Ghost orchestrated revival. I have read some wonderful stories of revival. And I am begging God to give me a taste of a real revival. You know, I've read stories like how revival broke out in New York. When Pastor Lanphier did all he could, but he wasn't accomplishing much. And he called a lunch hour prayer meeting in 1857. And that prayer meeting grew and spread across the United States until every week the church was baptizing 20,000 people. The revival reached Jamaica in 1860. It is the greatest revival, or the only real revival, recorded in Jamaica. People have to line up for baptism. All the Bibles were sold out. And revival spread across the nation. I am praying, God, do it again. Do it again. And I believe in these last days, God is taking in that final in gathering. He is building the temple. He is calling his people to work with him to finish this temple, because I believe it is not long from now that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from this world his own. So Jesus says, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. God is on a mission. But when we think of the mission, we also are confronted with the mountain. But what is the remedy? You see, we cannot hide from mountains. They are on every side. And if you notice, every mountain has a peak. So you cannot play hide and seek with mountains. They will peek at you. They will find you where you are. What's the solution? The mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. That's why the Lord told the apostles, go to Jerusalem and wait. Because you're going to encounter obstacles that can only be overcome by the Spirit of the living God. You're going to have challenges. You're going to need something more than gold. You're going to need the anointing of the Spirit of God to accomplish the task. We find in verse 6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, you are called to a task that seems impossible, humanly speaking. You are called to a task that seem insurmountable. You are called to a task that seem greater than all of you. But I want to tell you, this task is not greater than my Spirit. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And God baptized the church in the power of his Spirit, launched them off to accomplish the work of God. And even in the midst of severe opposition, the Lord added to the church daily those who were to be saved. He's only calling for reapers because the harvest is already ripe, but the laborers are few. They were filled with the Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. In another passage, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit, and the place where they were was shaken. God's Spirit can cause a shaking in our time, that people will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is on a mission. The mission is to seek and to save that which was lost. God has not stopped saving people. Right here in New York, the evangelical church is growing at a rate of 3-5% per year. And we say this month is Black History Month. Well, the greatest growth in the evangelical church is among those who are called black churches. God is on a mission. God is working. People are coming to know Jesus Christ. May we work with him. May we look out for where he's working and how he's working and work with him. Sometimes we bring our plans to God and say, God, here is the plan. Please rubber stamp it. Instead of coming to God and saying, show me your way, and we will walk therein. Reveal to us your plans and your vision, your purposes. For we know you are still on a mission. The very fact that the church is still in this world means that our mission is not yet complete. And we want to work with God fully to accomplish that mission. But it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. A few weeks ago, before I left Jamaica, an elderly brother shared with me of an article that he had read years before, how when Brother Harold Wildish preached in those early days of the Brethren movement in Jamaica, they had a baptism with 99 persons. And 5,000 persons gathered along the waterfront to watch that baptism. God was on a mission. But I remember reading an account of how Brother Wildish started his ministry. Among the first places that he went to preach at a crusade was in Guyana. He's a British preacher. Went to Guyana. And the account says that nothing much was happening in that crusade. And he went down to the Demerara River. And he said something to the effect like, God, may your Spirit come afresh. Fill me afresh. As I breathe in the air, may your Spirit fill me up afresh as I work for you. And that night when he went back to preach, it was a different story. A new yielding to the Spirit of God, a new infilling of the Spirit of God. So by the time he came to Jamaica, God was working through him mightily. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We see the mission of God, the mountain, the mighty outpouring. But finally, when God is at work, there is movement. And we see some movement taking place in this passage here. Now, one of the problems, and I don't think it is particular to us as brethren, But sometimes the church has a way of turning movement into monument. So we just begin to look at what God did in the past and what we have accomplished. But what about the movement now? Because when God gets ready, we've got to move. We have to be on the move for God. I see some movements in this passage. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. So we see a flattening movement. You know, God as a way of just moving some things out of your way. Just removing it so that you can advance. For the gates of hell shall not stand against the word and the work of God. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's work. Because Jesus says, I will build my church. So he flattens mountains. And it could be that somebody is faced with a significant mountain today. It looks so impossible. And you're wondering how you're going to manage. Well, God is able to move mountains. Sometimes he tunnels through mountains. Sometimes he climbs mountains. So mountains cannot stop God's work. Who are you, O great mountain? We see a flattening movement. We also see a foundational movement. You, Zerubbabel, laid the foundation of this temple. That probably was about 14 years before, because the work ceased for 14 years. But he said, you can go back to that and finish. Because if there is a foundational work, there is also a finishing work. Sometimes God calls some people just to do foundational work. But if it is foundational work we are called to do, may we lay a solid foundation that it can take the superstructure when God is ready to put it up. But he calls some to do the finishing work. Because you see, this is not about us. It is all about Jesus. So some will plant, some will water, but God gives the increase. The increase belongs to God. It doesn't matter if it is foundational work we are doing in the plan of God or the finishing work. The results all belong to God. The glory all belongs to God. But finally, I was hoping somebody would say amen. Finally, I see a funneling work. A funneling movement. And I call us to look at the passage. You see, in those days, they didn't have videos and holograms and so forth. So the Lord gave them some colorful visions. Look at it. What do you see? I am looking in verse 2. It says, I am looking and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Note verse 3. It says, two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. Go down to verse 11 and catch some more of the audio visual here. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at the left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Now, I believe it is making the point to us, because it didn't matter how large the gold pot was that contained oil, as long as the lamps were burning, it would use up the oil. But when they got a vision of two olive trees on the right and on the left, and two limbs bent over the golden pots, And the oil was dripping into the golden pots. It tells us that the anointing cannot run out. The Spirit of God cannot run dry. God has enough of himself and enough resources to finish the work that he has started. All we need to do is to be funnels. That anointing doesn't originate with us. There is a constant supply, and all we have to do is to be the pipes that channel the oil. He calls us to be funnels. He calls us to be channels. Jesus says in John chapter 7, 37 to 39, on that last day of the feast, "If any man thirst, let him come and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Flow through us, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Flow through your church, Holy Spirit. Jesus, flow through us, that somebody will see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But the reality is that many times the funnel becomes blocked. Blocked by sin and materialism and pride and selfishness. May God clear some funnels today, that we can be channels, that somebody will see Jesus in us, that somebody will be saved, and somebody will be healed, and somebody will be delivered from demonic powers, and somebody will be encouraged, and somebody will be edified. For God flows through his people. No wonder the Apostle Peter, as he was on his way to the prayer meeting, he met the man at the gate, Beautiful, asking for alms. And Peter was able to say, "Look at us." And the man looked with expectancy, probably expecting to receive a few dollars. But Peter knew that he needed more than that. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The Spirit of God was flowing through him. He was on a mission because God was on a mission. And he was working because God was working. "Not by might nor by power," says the living God, "but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And instantly, the man was healed and he started praising God. And it drew crowd, as God was on display. It wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about the early church. It was about the man Christ Jesus. Oh, that we would be the light in this dark world that caused people to take a second look at Jesus. And things can't be too hard or dangerous for God to be glorified. Some of the countries in which the people of God are experiencing the most severe persecutions and oppression are the countries which are experiencing revival. In Nigeria and Iran, thousands of people are coming to Christ. When we hear of a report of 100,000 people baptized at one time, we know God is on a mission. In China, the work of God is thriving amidst the challenges of communism. And we are told if the rate of conversion in China continues, very soon it will become more of a Christian nation than the United States of America. Because communism cannot stop the mission of God. Persecution cannot stop the mission of God. Even the other day, or even now, when coronavirus is creating havoc in Wuhan, China, one Christian organization put out a release that what the Christians did was to buy masks, many masks, and gospel tracts. And they went out there and give mask and gospel together. And the authorities were happy for their ministry. Because God is on a mission, even in the midst of coronavirus. Nothing can stop the mission of God. God invites us to join him in the work, to yield ourselves afresh to him for the infilling of the Spirit. I think time is against us. We must pray. But I want to give some persons an opportunity to recommit yourself to the mission of God. In this year 2020, you can reap plenty because God is on a mission. You may be saying to God, there are some mountains in my way, and you want to present those mountains to God today. I want to pray with you that God will remove some mountains, that his mission will be accomplished. Today you may be here and you have never submitted your life to Jesus Christ, and you are saying, I surrender all to Jesus today. I would love to pray for you if that is your desire. Whatever it is that God has spoken to your heart, in just a moment, I invite you to come to the altar. Is there somebody that God has touched your heart this morning? I just want to close this presentation in prayer. I am on mission. I am turning up for mission because God is on a mission. Here am I, Lord. If you have to move the mountains out of my experience, move them today. I am trusting you. I'm laying down my life before you because I want to be with you on the mission. Is there somebody else saying, I am on mission with God? Let your Holy Spirit fill me afresh. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, do not be drunk with wine where there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's not an option. It's not a one-time experience. It's a continuous infilling. Fill me up, Lord, till I overflow. A cup cannot overflow until it's filled. Fill me afresh that it will overflow into the lives of others. It will spill over on the highways and the byways and the trains and at my workplace. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in this year 2020, you are still on a mission. You are still working on the hearts of men and women. You are still drawing people to yourself. You are still seeking and still saving and still delivering from the powers of the enemy. Lord, we pray for these ladies who stand at the altar today. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon them. I ask that you will fill them up afresh. And I ask in the name of Jesus, that whatever mountain stands in their way by your grace, you will remove it. For we know that prayers can move mountains, Lord. We pray that you will answer their prayers today. You will answer their cry today. You will do something significant that will give them a testimony so that others can see that God is still on a mission in this world. Holy God, we recommit ourselves to your mission. Help us even to get out of our comfort zones and face the mountains to accomplish your mission. In the name of Jesus, we pray.